What up, everybody? Lucian Upton here, and welcome to our podcast. I'm not alone. I'm with two wonderful and talented young individuals. I say young because they look their age in their mind.
It's your boy Marlon Patrick over here.
And the one and only fabulous Lauren CPT.
Now, you see what I'm talking about? The word fabulosity.
Because I am.
And guys, what is this?
Reality Bites.
Guys, we're going to have a killer lineup for you right now. I'm talking about a person that is synonymous in the industry of media, entrepreneurship, and
go.
Wait for this. Like I said, guys, killer lineup. The reason why I say lineup is because normally you hear this when that person is in the club or at an event or at a festival, but this individual is multi-talented, clever, smart, and also got a killer voice. But I'm not saying about singing, I'm talking about talking. I'm talking about a DJ, a presenter, MC, entrepreneur. This man's got nothing that can't stop him. I'm talking about the one, the only, DJ Love!
Let's go, boy! How's my guy?
How are you doing?
Lekker, man. You? Awesome stuff.
Welcome,
my guy. Welcome to me.
Thank you
for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us right here on Reality Bites. Ah, you know, you are a hard person to get hold of.
Am I?
You got 5 million numbers.
No, but 2.
Yes, 2 is 5 million.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I am trying to be better at being unreachable. I don't know if that makes sense. So ever since I started in the industry, yes, I've had to be available. Like,
that's
if you
true.
Think about it, like from the moment you wake up, you've got a call sheet, you've got to be somewhere at a specific time. And then I just reached a certain age and I was like, I'm done with myself. Yeah. So now like I have a phone, but like I'm not as fascinated by being in touch or having devices on my hand.
The only device on your hand is when you make them deals.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So Lloyd, you touched now on when you were available back in the day, when you were call sheets.
Yeah.
You started off as a young TV presenter.
Yes, like so TV actually, funny enough, was the second thing that I did. I started off in TV. My career in TV started off like unexpectedly, funny enough. I was a 18-year-old student living off like maybe like 10 rand a month. I didn't really have any sort of support. I was at UWC in my first year. And I was one of those scrawny, uncool students. And I got a caller one day from a family friend of ours. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, my brother's first girlfriend. She called me one day and she was like, I think you might have a face for television. I don't know. But there's this lady who's just opened up a new management and boss at the time, Boss Models, had opened up a talent management division. And then she's like, I think you should go see this lady. This lady's looking for new people. And I was like, yeah, I can go, but I actually can't afford to get there. Like, no, cool. This is before e-wallet. This is before I'm going to send you money or whatever.
Oh, this has been many years ago.
Yeah, so I had to go holler at like a couple of people. She was like, you get the money to come to town. I will make sure you get back home. Cool. Got on a train. Walked all the way to Bree Street when I got to town. And I met this lady called Negeva, who was the founder of the management.
Nice.
She was like, yeah, you've got a cool look about you. Took some pictures of me. And then as I was leaving, and that time I still had like a Nokia 33 something. And then as I'm walking out, she calls me and she's like, listen, I know this is like super quick, but
can you go?
Can you go to this place, right? Go to 79 Loop Street.
Ooh, we know this too well.
Right? And then I was like, yeah, what is this about? She's like, no, just go there. I've told someone that you're coming, and I get there, there's like a line, bro.
Mm.
It's like a line. It must have been at least 100, 150 people.
Sure.
Yeah. And then everyone is standing in line. I don't know what's going on here. I get a number, I sign up, da da da, and so forth. Right?
All brand new to you.
All brand new to mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
And then I eventually make it in, like probably waiting after, like waited for a good hour, hour and a half or so, you know. And then at this point, they're actually taking people in groups of 10 in, because like the time. Line is, yeah, time, mm. it's bringing everyone in. And now I'm like standing with 10 people here, right? And it's my first time doing this thing. And then they say to everyone, okay, look left. They say profile.
Yeah,
and I don't know. And I'm looking at it. It's like being in a yoga class for the first time, for example. You don't know. Like,
also, following... the other one, people, if you don't know what it means, but when you go for an audition, they say profile. This is your profile.
Yeah.
Your sides. Mm. Your profiles are your sides.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, I'm also like, getting like crazy, like imposter syndrome,
mm.
because oh, I'm like, I'm seeing like all these people around me are perfect, you know, like mm. I've got a big forehead, for example. I bite my nails, mm. and I'm just like, okay, everyone is like this. I'm
forehead.
Yeah. Even when I was putting up my
your
hands, like I'm just like everyone else is like, mm. I'm like, okay. And then the casting director, very flamboyant guy, is like, yo. Okay, so guys, we gotta do this quickly. We don't have much time. You've got 30 seconds. Everyone, I wanna see you dance. I'm like, what?
No.
And you know the thing about DJs, right? Yeah. We can't dance. So I'm like, okay, I'm like, I think this probably is something that just kicks into me a lot in everything that I do. I was just like, okay, let me just be present. I'm here now. Mm-hmm. I might as well make the most of this. Mm. And I don't know, like something just took over. And then I started dancing like everybody else. But I was actually laughing at myself as all of this is happening.
Yeah.
And then the guy, just as we're dancing, he looks at me and then he just stops. He says, everyone stop.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, damn it. Like, I did something wrong here. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, guys, I'm so sorry to be rude, but everyone except you, out.
Right?
And then like I'm like standing there by myself now. And then he walks outside, he opens the door and he goes, guys, I don't want to waste everybody's time. It's been a long day. You can all go home.
That's unheard of.
Right?
That's unheard of.
What? Right? And then I'm standing there, and then the guy goes, please do this thing again. Right? I'm like laughing, right? Like I'm killing myself. And I go again. And the one of the guys was sitting behind the camera, who incidentally was actually the client, comes up to me and says, look, we want to do this thing with you. Who's your agent? I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I literally just got this now.
Wow.
Right? And then that was my first ad. I got my first TV ad. And then incidentally, and this is kind of how everything works in my life.
Mm.
I did that. They were like, okay, cool. We want to cast you. We're shooting next week. I think the Monday or something like that. This must have been the Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I'm going home, my Negeva calls me and says, yo, like, you've booked this job. Like, that's so crazy. This is the first time I've ever heard this. You've booked this job, but hold your horses. Do you know how to read poetry? And I was like, yo, but this is crazy because I used to rap as a kid.
Mm.
Right? And she's like, I've got something else for you. On Friday, though, you need to go to Observatory. You see where they're building, right here, actually, where they're building the Amazon building.
Yes.
Now. Mm-hmm. There used to be, like, obviously, the River Park, I think. I forget the name of
yes.
the place.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sent there, and I walk in there as well. Now, this is 2 days later, by the way, right? I walk in there, there's a script. And, like, because, like, naturally, I catch on to stuff quite quickly, especially if it's written.
And rhythm.
Yeah, and rhythm. Mm. I got there, everyone else is like auditioning with their papers, and I just put the paper down and I started telling these people. And it was like this, I didn't know, they didn't say what the product was for. It was just like this this poem about like world leaders, Nelson Mandela, Che Guevara, and so forth. So I'm just like mouthing off, right? Long story short, to cut a very long story short, I ended up booking both jobs, shot them the same week. And then the cherry on top, my first time I was on TV, it was 2000 and something, I think 2005. There was a big game between Bafana Bafana and Brazil, which was playing on TV. And then it went halftime. And then my first ad played out. And right after that, my second ad played out.
And you were in the stadium?
No, I was in the stadium. I was sitting at home. I was just told. I was just told that, funny enough, the big ad that I did, which was after the global campaign that Tyrese did, was for Coca-Cola. And then the Coca-Cola obviously told me, it was like, yo, like, your ad's coming up this time. But now I'm sitting there waiting for this ad to play, and my first ever ad plays, and then the second one plays.
Unheard of.
So that was my first.
You're the first person I've ever heard in my entire life and career that has this moment happen like this. And two ads playing on a global scale.
Yeah, like, that. Well, South African scale. SABC, you know, which was at the time it was so big for me. And in fact, like, so my whole career on TV is also a lot of the stuff that's happened has been purely by chance, even Hectic, completely by chance.
That's where I first saw recognizing
Hectic
you.
Hectic 99,
right? Yes.
That's my first soiree into TV to answer your question. Yeah.
Okay, then people don't even know this.
I'll be in my book one day.
But you had it right here first.
Exactly. Wow.
Oh my goodness. I am so in shock. Lawrence, go.
So ever since that time, right, you have evolved into, and then how did the DJ thing start? Like, where did that start? I believe Grand Cafe, is it there?
Look, so those were one of my first few gigs, right? So the actual art of DJing and playing music is something that I've always been interested in. I'm sure all of us grew up on Studio Mix, Zero Hour Zone. My family used to record music on VHS all the time. So
the cassettes.
It was a big thing for me. And then I met a friend of mine, a guy called Togozani, who was very much into music. And we started rapping, right? But then what happened was that the church that we used to go to had a social. And at this social, they wanted someone to play music. And Togozani found out that the tape deck at home could play both sides at the same time.
Oh.
So we're like, oh, what? We can play, before this song finishes, you can play one here?
What?
And then we went and bought cassettes, Oskido, Church Grooves 1, Fresh House Play.
Oh, jeez.
Because we're playing at church this weekend, you know? And that was my very first gig. And the first feeling of making other people happy with my talent. And then I think where I started taking it, like, seriously and professionally was in 2008, was when I actually kind of, like, started taking the art seriously. Following other DJs who were playing, like, house parties and listening to them. But my big break into DJing, I got scouted into a talent competition called Turntables.
Yes.
And funny enough, it was sponsored by another alcohol brand at the time. And they chose, like, various DJs around the country. Myself and Ashton Abels were the Cape Town representative.
Ashton Abels?
Yeah.
And then, yes.
Yeah.
A friend of mine as well.
Yeah. It's a small world. Yeah. And then we used to play mixes on Metro FM, mixes on 5 FM. And long story short, I won that competition. I got to travel to the States to go to Miami, New York, Washington. It was the Miami Music Conference. And that's where I started meeting, like, all of these big name DJs per se. And that was the time I was like, okay, I'm taking this thing seriously.
My guy, Lloyd, like, you've had an amazing career thus far, obviously. Yeah. You know, like, I hear you say, things like, you know, it's been happening by chance. Well, I believe it's all blessings are blessings.
100%.
But, like, with that being said, like, would you say you've had some struggles? Could you share that with us?
Well? Yeah, like, please. Every day. I think anyone who tells you or who makes it seem like it's all gravy, it's not, you know. I think that's probably my biggest challenge at the moment, where I always say, Vince and I, my business partner, we always talk about how our biggest challenge with anyone who's watching us with the things that we do is that because we enjoy it so much and it's in front of people's eyes, people tend to think what we're doing is easy, you know, and it really isn't, you know. I'm currently involved in 7 startups, 5 of which are fully functioning. And every day in the morning, I have to wake up and remind myself that I am worthy. I am capable. I can do all of this stuff. The same imposter syndrome you go through, I tend to think mine is hectic, you know? There's moments where I've had big moments of self-doubt when you see, for instance, for example, your own heroes not be able to handle the pressure, you know? So, there's struggles every day. There's things to navigate every day. We all went through COVID one way or another. I've lost everything twice at least, you know? And dealt with a lot of stuff on top of that. So it happens, man. Like, and I, as you're saying, it's blessings. I'm just grateful that whichever angel is looking out for me is still looking out for me, that God is still on my side. And the people that are on earth are betting for us. We're really lucky that the people out there were behind you.
You are so multifaceted, like in so many areas. Like, you are a TV presenter, a radio presenter as well. You are an MC, but the one thing I always like what people do is that voiceovers.
Yeah.
Hey. You understand? So I want to put you on the spot now.
SMS la u 330. I always surprise people, man. I used to do it. That was me. And
that's amazing.
SMS moved to 313-14. You watch the man. You watch. Obviously, you didn't watch Emmanuel.
I did. Emmanuel.
After 12 hours on ETV. There you go.
Hold on. I didn't remember Emmanuel. I had to watch like this.
I love the blanket. Yeah. And so ready to turn up the TV.
I used to make this joke. SMS are all set. 3-3-7-2-8.
Yeah. So that was my first voiceovers when they started doing those fake ringtones. So for instance, JR had made the circle bigger, but everyone wanted to buy the tone, but you couldn't make the song. Mm-hmm. You couldn't they didn't have the rights yet. Mm-hmm. So we used to remake the songs.
Cool.
That was, I used to like go into booths, rapping, like make the circle bigger. Yeah.
So awesome. And this guy, like I just mentioned, you are so multifaceted, whatever, and like you have so much going on. One thing that really stands out for me is that you're also an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Yeah. And I believe I need to go for therapy sometime.
yeah, you look like you need therapy.
You need a
little
bit of therapy.
You need a bit of therapy.
So tell us about that journey, therapy. How did that start? Your restaurant.
Yo, that's a book all on its own.
Just a little bullet point.
So let me tell you something about how life goes full circle and you can... Cut me down if I'm talking too long here. When I started on Hectic 99, like I said, I was saying to Lucian earlier on, I didn't want to be on TV. So give you a short backstory. My mother passed away when I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. That's the day I became an adult. And I think I aged myself. When I was 20, I was already 40. Like, there were just certain things I didn't want to do. I was like, that's childish. I'm not going to do that. Mm. So when Hectic originally came up, I was asked to go audition. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's a kid show, right? And then 3 years later, after one of my closest friends that I grew up with was on the show, and he was like, no, actually, you should go, because he was leaving. Mm-hmm. I went, very quick audition. Next thing, I'm on the show. And they were shooting the show at Clockwork Zoo in town. Right off Kloof Street. Mm-hmm. And there was this place that we used to go called Mano's off Kloof Street that we used to go and have lunches and dinners after we shot the show. Ironically, that is where therapy is today. So, and it's so funny that I was having dinner right now with Gail.
Mm-hmm.
She's at the shop right now.
Gail Ansby.
Right?
Shout out to Gail.
And I always used to say to her, I sent her a text when we opened. I said, do you remember the place we used to go to? Because I was just, when I first saw this place, this is 2009, right?
It was like 15 years ago.
And I saw that place and I was like, this place is so special.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I always used to say to everyone, one day I'm going to own this place. I'm going to own this place.
Manifesting.
Manifesting. And then when we opened, I sent her a text actually. And I said to her, hey, do you remember the place I tell you about that I'm going to own one day? Well, it's mine now.
Yay!
So that's therapy. And I'm blessed to work with like an amazing group of people. As always, my business partner Vinny, we're involved in that project. But it's really been a labor of love. When we originally found the spot again, it was 2020. We saw the spot, it was vacant. There was a Jerry's Burger Bar there before. And it just was vacant. And we had to deal with so many things to get that lease. Firstly, they wouldn't even look at us because we were two black kids. Mm-hmm. We had to get our Jewish friends to help us to get the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Even on the day we were signing the lease, literally they walked in first. And then we walked in after. And they were like, yeah, we're actually here to
when
sign
was
the lease.
That?
This was like a year and a half ago. This not too long ago.
So good.
Yeah, I was telling you. Yeah. And we came and we signed the lease. And it took us, from the day we signed the lease, it took us a year to raise the money to start the thing. But we were still paying rent every month because we had to honor the lease, mm-hmm. right? So imagine you're paying crazy amounts of money mm-hmm. every month for this lease. And then only a year later did we get funding. And it was private funding. And now it's up and running. We opened in August of last year. So we've been going now for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing, man. Like the amazing people that I'm getting to meet. Mm-hmm. We partnered with this really amazing restaurateur guy called Alex, who's based out in Joburg. He owns a chain called Gemelli's. Mm-hmm. So they're known for serving amazing food because we wanted to make sure that the
your
product
food's
of
good.
What we do
your
is
food's good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If your I say so myself,
oh, we have come to go try it.
So you need some therapy. Uh-huh. You need therapy for the tummy.
That is where it came from. Is that where you got the name therapy from?
The name therapy came from the fact that, number one, there is no word for therapy in Xhosa, for example, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
You've seen the amount of suicides that have been happening, especially mm-hmm. amongst men. Mm-hmm. We wanted to create a space where, and the name kind of rings true to the fact that when you come there, you can literally let your shoulders down. You can talk about things, deep, meaningful conversations, and feel at home, mm-hmm. you know? So it does really feel therapeutic to be there. So I think the name works perfectly.
Also, you're lighting the mood. The setting is so...
Yeah.
Which it is. And the food is good.
I definitely have to go to therapy.
No, we're going. Yeah. All of us are going to therapy.
Definitely, because... And we usually, in our free time, whatever, then we usually go to, like, certain restaurants and go to our food. So definitely on my list.
Come through.
Yeah, will be lovely. And then, like, with all these stories that I've heard, like, what was your, basically, soul-to-soul moment where you realized I went from A to B, like, through your entire journey? What was the moment for you when you was like, this is it, this is making that a major swap in my life? When did you discover that moment? Did you have such a moment? And if you did, please share with us.
My soul-to-soul moment. To be honest with you, I've only had one so far, mm-hmm. and very much like when I realized that things are not real, was when I was 16 years old. My mother's passing had a major impact on me, both as a person, as everything. It made me realize that I don't have as much time as I think I have. My mother was quite young. My mother was 40, had just turned 41. I obviously had family. I have a great father, but we grew up in a single parent home. My mother died in my arms, so it was a big, big moment for me. Ever since that day, I don't waste time. I'm Japanese. I always say Japanese because you know the Japanese don't have the word no in their vocabulary. Mm-hmm. There's no no for me. In my adult life, funny enough, now, and talking about what you were saying, Marlon, I think because I went straight into being an adult, when I hit my 30s, I started being a kid again because I didn't have that much responsibility. By the time I'd hit 30, I'd worked on TV and had to show up every day. I'd worked at a TV production company as like something serious in my 20s. So my 20s were very much like my life has been flipped around. Mm. So to be honest, in my adult life now, I'm waiting for that soul-to-soul moment again. Because now I'm like, everything is new. Yeah. Everything is testing. I'm meeting new people that are way better and smarter than me, which is awesome, you know? But my real soul-to-soul moment came early in life.
And I can resonate with that because it just brought back a memory of myself because in 2019, I lost my mom. And for me, that was also a moment where, like, I'm a mommy's boy, you understand? Yeah. So for me, it was like, I'm now alone. Even though I have family that and my sisters are there for me, whatever, it's just not the same. Mm. It's not the same thing that you get when that your mother gave you. Yeah. And I can somehow reason, because my whole life then turned upside down. To a fact that, I remember it was a week after my mom's passing, and I was like, okay, you know, stop sulking now. You are now on your own. You have to do things on your own. You have to now look after yourself. You have to now. And that moment is where I had my soul-to-soul kind of moment in my life also. Yeah. And then it was of such a nature that we had to block everything.
Yeah.
Like, I have to block, just think forward. You have to do this. You have to be successful. You have to do this. You understand?
Yeah.
Then I think last year I went for therapy because I didn't deal with it that time. Yeah. You understand? And I started having like small little panic attacks here and there. It wasn't COVID.
Yeah.
I was sitting at home one day. There was no one at home that day. And I was sitting there on the balcony. I can still remember this day. And I just started having a panic attack, small that. So what the hell is happening to me?
Yeah.
And that was the first time it happened.
Yeah.
And it happened like, I think twice a year after that. And then last year, I was just like, no, you have to do something about this. Do you understand? So in a kind of way, like for me, like you experienced that at a very young age, you know?
Yeah.
And me experiencing that now, like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, and having that total swap in your life.
Yeah.
But something good comes from that, I believe. Like, look how you turned out today.
Yeah, look
at the person you became. And that, for me, is just such a beautiful thing to see.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, you're a successful guy with all these little titles next to your name, whatever. And that is so amazing. It's inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's inspiring to a lot of other people.
I'm proud of you, too. Like, you know, like, it's so crazy. Like, someone asked me the other day, would I have preferred to lose my parents earlier where I did or now? And to be honest with you, like, it's there's no right answer.
No, that's why it's like taking me
right. There's no right answer, but the truth is, it's gonna happen. Like,
you
do know none of us make it out alive.
No, 100
Spoiler. The truth is, you know, but it's a two-sided answer for me, but like, I think what I'm trying to say is that I'm so proud of you, you know, for you first and foremost, like going, I recognize that there's a problem and there's something that I need to deal with. I in my whole life, to be honest, for that particular subject, I still haven't had the courage to go to therapy on it, you know, so it's like, I've taken it as fuel and gone with it, but like, kudos to you, dude, like.
But that's also that time when we were younger, whatever, mental health wasn't even a topic.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I think the only reason why I went for that is because it's now so popular and it's becoming a thing.
Mm.
And I think that's the reason why I had to go, because I didn't know what happened to myself, etc.
But you could have chosen not to.
Exactly, which I did. And I made peace with it inside of it, because I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And especially I had questions about God and why do you do this and all that stuff, like my spiritual journey also.
Yeah. I think it affected
such a lot of things. I remember when Marlon and I like linked up again, and that was one of the first conversations we had, because he also lost his mother the year after mine. And that's how we kind of bonded after a while. And and I think that moment, and then he was just like, whoa, this guy's questioning God now. What's going on, Lawrence? And I think that is all the things that we go through. But therapy, I must say, it doesn't help for everyone, you understand? We all have our own little journeys and stuff, but it helped me, and I'm very glad, and thank you for that.
Proud of you guys.
Hey, Marlon. Are you okay, Marlon?
I'm good. I am good, guys. Can we have a little
song? We will toast to you.
Yeah.
Cheers to you again.
I'll give you a Bluetooth.
I love that.
Someone, there you go.
So, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys, and big ups to you for what you're doing. You know, like, not a lot of people have the courage to see it through.
Yeah.
So big ups to you. Thank you for having me.
When I close my eyes now, and I envision I just want to just share this with you, what I'm seeing. Like, I see this young boy coming from humble beginnings, and I see this young boy trying to do something in life, and he didn't even know what potential he has.
Yeah.
And he just walked in and just did something. He didn't think twice. He just went there that one day for that audition or to the boss model the boss, agency, and that exactly happened to you. And it's like, I believe everything in life happens for a reason, and that was your destiny.
It was a destiny.
Yeah. It's about to say
that,
the same thing.
That was your destiny. And to see that person, you know what I mean, go from point A to point Z, I won't say Z because there's still more other things to come, but to this point where you are now, I think it is so inspirational. And this is what I love about our show. This is what I love about this podcast, because we learn so many things from different people and different stories, and that's what it's all about, like your perspective, you know? And we were stirring that perspective today.
Yeah.
And we were sipping on the truth, your truth that you shared with us today. And it is just so amazing. Lovely. So thank you for, you know, having an impact in my life, and I think all of our lives, and I'm sure our viewers at home, listening to your story and stuff.
Thank you. Very inspirational.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Marlon, I believe you have a few questions.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
So, DJ Lloyd, my guy, before we go off, in true style, so what we do with our guests is we have a little rapid fire little show, what we do. So I ask you five questions, this or that.
Sure.
And then, so you just answer.
That's right.
You just go, okay.
That's right.
So the first one we'll ask you is dancing or singing, my guy?
I can sing, bro.
Yeah,
but in the shower.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Next one would be coffee bar or bar?
Coffee bar.
Lovely. You want to go?
Yes, I want to ask, fresh food or fried food?
Fresh food.
Lovely. Do you prefer social time or alone time?
Alone time.
Definitely.
Worst introvert you've ever found.
Would you rather sleep late or take a long nap midday?
Long nap midday.
Really? Because I have a problem with that one.
Yeah.
Then I can't sleep the evening again.
So my problem is that, problem and blessing, I sleep 2 hours at a time, every time. I can't sleep more than 2 hours.
Even during the night?
Every day. Every single day. Like, if I sleep now, I'll wake up in 2 hours, and then I'll go back if I want to. I was prescribed sleeping pills, but I don't want to do any of that stuff.
We're insomniacs. That's me. I'm just a very sad person. I sleep better in the afternoon.
I think I'm just a maniac. I think there's something wrong. Yeah, but like, I hardly sleep.
Okay.
The struggle is real. So what's next for you?
Yes.
There's already so much in the pipeline. What are you aspiring to be in NGF right now?
So there's this thing that, so when I was growing up, my dad always used to say to me, you do so much. Like, I was that kid at high school with all the badges. Like, I would play cricket, play this, I did everything. And I kind of feel that way still now, because like I said, I'm in culture. So anything that has to do with culture, somehow I'm involved in. We have a fashion business. We have a hospitality business. We've got a festival. We're in music as DJs. And so for me, really, I think the top of the hill is that, one, my goal is that I really am trying to make the 65-year-old version of me super proud. Right? So everything I do is charged towards that 65-year-old. And then secondly, to challenge my father, because he always used to say, you don't want to be a jack of all trade and a master of none. So my thing now, my life mission now, is to make sure that everything that I'm involved in hums. Like, it must be the best that it can possibly be. I think at my age now, I'm blessed enough to be involved in things that actually work and that have like momentum. But now, how do I look at the restaurant therapy and say, yo, how can we do this at another level? How can I take my DJing to an international level? I've been DJing for 20 years. I've never made one song. I'm starting to make music now, so making myself uncomfortable like that. So I think for me, it's like, I just know that the things that I've been blessed with are the right things. I just want to do them at the highest level. That's the next step.
I, you can, There's nothing else that you can say.
Like literally.
Yeah.
Like literally. I am going to go back home, like I say always, and just reflect on this and just, you know, say, or like, I learned something from everybody else.
Yeah.
Today, I've learned, first of all, patience to go for something.
Yeah.
Regardless. You know, even if you had to go ask for like a 20 rand to like take a taxi to get there.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just to go and do it. Don't sit and wait around. Just go and do it.
And let me flip it on you guys for a second, what you just said to me. So I met Lucian on television, right? And it's so crazy how everything you go through and grow through, and you think that, this is terrible. The early mornings, the long hours, the things like there's days where you're like, hey, is this person being serious? And now you guys are getting to use all those respective talents on your own thing, you know? And the only thing I can say to you guys, especially with in this day and age, like with all these podcasts, don't make my mistake, because what I did was at some point I also had a platform which was similar to what you guys are doing. And we built this platform. We even got like one of the country's leading banks to sponsor it and so forth, right? And COVID happened. But then we lost our steam. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is that don't take what you guys are doing for granted. There's going to be days where you're like, really, do I want to show up for this thing? When you're on episode 157, and it's like, do I keep going? Please keep going, because you don't know how many people's lives you're impacting just by doing what you like doing. So that's my message to you guys. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Or should I say, Loiso? Government name. You know? I said I was calling that, and he's like, Lucian. Yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. But appreciate your time, your presence, words of wisdom, and just your affirmation of saying, believe in yourself, own it, you are enough.
You are it.
You are it.
You are it.
That's what you are it.
You are it.
You are it. Because I owe you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys,
I woke up now. What happens?
I'm going to say goodbye. Okay. Bites. It's been real. You guys heard it from the man himself. You are enough. You own that room when you walk in. Fill the space, and don't forget, like, share, subscribe, and comment, and tell us what you think of tonight's episode. Until next time, Bites. Love you all.
Yes, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey! I love that. I love it.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love the show.